What do you preach on Pentecost? What do you think? The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. This message is inspired in some ways, certainly through this week of Lectio 365. It was especially rich to me as I listened to it and went to sleep with it every night, and I even started listening now in the mornings as well, as the focus was on the Holy Spirit. So join me in an opening prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, to our mind. Come to our heart. Come to our soul, that we may grow like a seed in good soil. That your working in us would overflow. Holy Spirit, we wait on you to empower us. Would you increase our faith today? Would you transform our thinking today? Would you grow our love as we leave here today so we can live the way Jesus, that is, bearing witness and testimony to your great love, God, your kingdom coming in us and to your world, just as you promised, your will being done in us and in your world, just as you promised with the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. So in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of us pray this prayer today. We say, amen. Amen. Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, we read this. After his suffering and after his resurrection, Jesus presented himself to them, his followers, to the world, to his disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, based on our recent series of going through the parables from Easter until Pentecost today, this sounds a lot like a mustard seed. It starts small and grows very tall. It sounds like yeast, where even though it's so small, it permeates all. It's that kind of thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God and God's mission and God's people faithful in mission, being witnesses to the resurrection and salvation of Jesus. Jesus tells them to wait. In a few short days, the Spirit will be poured out. God's people have been waiting for the Spirit to be poured out for hundreds of years now. In fact, Peter, I'm going to read this text in a minute, gets up in Acts chapter 2 after the Spirit comes and he begins to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He becomes a witness, Peter of all people. I'll talk about that. It's crazy, unlikely. And he speaks from Joel chapter 2. This text would be something that Peter and all the disciples, in fact, all the people who are steeped in God's word, have been waiting for hundreds of years for this text to be fulfilled. In fact, if you go back to the prophet of Joel, that's some 800 years before Pentecost. And he reads this: I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now I want you to notice, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Spirit, notice too, is being poured out on all people. men, women, old, young, sons, daughters. The language is there for us all. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus' disciples and the other followers were waiting in an upper room just as Jesus had asked, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of Joel. When the day of Pentecost came from chapter 2, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The text says the people who are witnessing this and experiencing this were amazed because they were Galileans. And yet they were speaking in languages of all kinds of different tongues that they could recognize. How can this be? The wonders of God being proclaimed in their own language. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, and I think I have this, what does this mean? Well, let me start by answering the question the people were asking in the text who experienced this. And let's go back just 10 days earlier. Jesus is giving some final instructions to his followers, and he ascends into heaven. But right before that, he says this to his people. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I will be with you to the end of the age. Matthew 28, we know it is the great mission, the great commission God invites us into. Jesus tells them right there that he is going to be with his Father and that he was going to send another, an advocate, a helper, a guide, someone who would be the presence of God in our very being, in our lives and hearts. In John 14 and 15, you read about this when Jesus explains it to his disciples before he ascends to heaven and says, wait for the Spirit. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. When the Helper comes, he will bear witness about me. Now, I love this. Because you start taking the Great Commission, you start taking, what does it mean to follow Jesus, to be his disciple? What does it mean to make disciples? And here we have this gift of the Spirit. Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit on us, and the Holy Spirit living in us bears witness to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, we bear witness of Jesus to the world. Wow, what a calling. This is awesome and daunting. It's why God gives us his Spirit, because he knows the challenge before us is great. But it is filled with joy. It is filled with meaning. It is filled with fulfillment and purpose for why we've been created, why Jesus was sent, died, and rose again, and why we've been given the gift of the Spirit. For such a task as this. Isn't it interesting that Peter is the first to stand and testify to Jesus? The one who denied and deserted Jesus only a few days before this, when Jesus was in his greatest need of love and loyalty and faithfulness. He begins by quoting Joel chapter 2. God is pouring out his Spirit, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. We handed Jesus over to be crucified. He retells this. He includes himself. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to it. Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. And you got to think about this, right? We're so used to, maybe if you've been around Scripture for a while, you're like, Peter, oh yeah, he's a disciple. Oh yeah, he wrote some books in the Bible, right? First and second, he wrote some of these things. He's a follower of Jesus. He gave his life as a martyr for Jesus. Well, if there's anyone who would feel undeserving of such a call, a gift of salvation, it would be Peter. Disqualified is what Peter would think. His mistakes counting him out. A thrice denial of Jesus when Jesus needed Peter's love the most. The coming of the Holy Spirit to Peter's heart and life sets Peter free, freeing him from the bondage of his own soul, loosening his tongue to testify, transforming his life to be sold out for God. Now there it is again, another parable of Jesus. You find that hidden treasure, you find that pearl of great price, you sell everything in order to have it. Looks like the Spirit is transforming Peter of all people. If he can transform Peter, if he can transform who we knew as Saul into Paul, he can transform us. When the Spirit is poured out on Pentecost, the people say, what does this mean? Well, it means this, salvation. The Spirit sets Peter free to receive God's grace and his truth, his forgiveness. The same is true for us. And in the gift of the Holy Spirit, think about the benefits that come to us. God's presence, always with him, always with us. That's the gift of the Spirit. God's power at work in us. Not only just the breath of life that we receive every day, the inhalation, exhalation, all of those good things that we take for granted, but the transforming work of Christ in us, the Spirit. And then God's purpose. You heard it already in the great commission that he invites us into, God with him, God at work in and through him, to give testimony, to bear witness. So the Holy Spirit is given to all who call on the name of the Lord. This is interesting because people get all wrapped around the axle about sometimes this theologically. I want to make it simple for you. Well, who's saved? People ask this. Why me? Whatever. How can this be some and not others? I mean, they get all wrapped around this kind of stuff. This is how I understand it. Who is saved? Well, all who call on the name of the Lord. That's who's saved. It's as simple as that. God's presence, his power, his purpose in our lives is also ours in Jesus Christ. Listen, none of us is deserving of the gift of salvation in Jesus. None of us is worthy to receive the Holy Spirit of God, but that is exactly what he gives us in Jesus Christ. Who does the Lord call? It would seem that the ones who call on the name of the Lord are the ones whom the Lord calls. See how I took care of that? And this salvation includes forgiveness of sins, being made right with God forever. But I have to tell you today, it's much, much more than that. You're like, how can it be more than that? Well, because it's not just this eternal life kind of thing. Oh, that's very true. But it's being able to have an abundant life now. What does it mean to have sins forgiven? What does it mean to be free from the power of sin? What does it mean to walk in God's ways? What does it mean to love God with my whole heart? To love my neighbor as myself? What does it look like to live that kind of life? If we all as followers of Jesus live like that, this life, this world would be so transformed. That's what he calls us into each and every day. His presence, his power, his purpose, and it's already with us in the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit's poured out on the people. And they hear Peter testify to Jesus, bear witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus, as being Lord and Messiah. Those are big terms. And this is what it says in the text. They were cut to the heart. And they ask a second question. What shall we do? These are great questions. What does this mean? And then, what are we to do? Sounds like a good practical question. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, replies, repent. Turn. Confess. Receive. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. It's for your children. It's for your children's children, for all who are far off, he says. You know, I thought maybe I could expound on that, but I'm simply going to say this. Who's far off? That would include Peter, who was so far off, even after following Jesus for 3 years in his denial, feeling unworthy, undeserving. For every one of us, you see, there's nothing we can do that could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That would be so bad that we're unworthy to receive it, or certainly we're undeserving, but I'm saying he did it anyway, and he gives and offers it to us freely. Repent, believe, receive. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Those who call on the name of the Lord are those whom God calls. Simple as that. What does it mean? What shall we do? Well, I got a couple things here, and I'm going to spend just the rest of this morning just filling this out a little bit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why does Paul talk over and over and over and over again to people who seem like they may not hear or may not see? They're taking little baby steps and then they take steps back. Doesn't that sound like us? And he says, continue to die to yourself and to rise to a new life in Christ. To me, that sounds like unbelievable freedom. Does it mean like everything's going to be better and you're not going to experience any trouble? No. We know that's not the time we live in. In fact, we might receive some trouble for actually being filled with the Spirit and walking in God's ways. We might experience all kinds of things that we would maybe not consider necessarily good. But it'll be good because we will be in the will of God. We will be free. We will bear testimony and witness to Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be my witnesses to the end of the earth. And I'm going to say in here, make disciples. So since Easter, we have explored the kingdom of God, what it's like. Have you not heard and have you not seen, to use a biblical phrase? The kingdom of God is like a good sower who sows generously, graciously, liberally, good seed. It's the gospel of salvation. And when it falls in good soil, and to take Peter's words, a repentant, a willing to follow, leading to witness and testimony, you see the seed grows. It may start small, but it grows. That's what the kingdom of God is like in the heart. Influences the world like yeast in a batch of dough. It grows like a mustard seed into a plant that provides shelter and shade. It's a blessing. Is this not the promise given to Abraham? I'm going to bless you, and you will bless the nations. Bring God's good news to all who will hear and receive and sow the seed of the gospel generously. A life sold out for God and a kingdom come and will be done. Like finding treasure in a field, a pearl of great price, you do everything to have it. Repentance, surrender, give Jesus your all. The kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. We talked about this. You're invited. Peter's invited. He lived and walked and witnessed everything of Jesus' life. Read the Gospels. And yet, when it came to crunch time, can you imagine the weight on him? Jesus says, Peter, I love you. He says to each one of us, I love you. Be forgiven. Walk in my ways. Accept the invitation, salvation in Jesus' name, and a life in the Holy Spirit, a life in the love of God, and make ready, we talked about this last week, for his coming. Or if you die and see him before then, whichever comes first, prepare, make ready, let the Spirit work. So two things stand out to me. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And yes, this means eternal salvation, but actually it's much more than that. I hope you've gotten a taste of that. It's the freedom from the penalty of sin, from God's wrath, from any kind of judgment. It's gone. Jesus Christ took that for us. It also means freedom from the power of sin, that more and more we can become like Jesus. We can enter into his life at work in us. Oh, and that means so many things. In fact, the next 4 weeks, I plan to sort of unpack that. It's like, okay, it starts with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does that even look like? Well, then it means love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does that look like? We'll take a peek at a couple of these things, and we'll take a look at what a life of discipleship looks like. And by the way, not only do we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have one another. But think about this, how our world would be if the gospel of Jesus Christ was lived out faithfully in his people, and it goes out to the ends of the world, and there would be this cultivation and growth of love, true sacrificial, true laying down your life for another kind of love. A world where there's no bitterness, no hate, no, I mean, can you imagine it? Peter says no. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Call on the name of the Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will be saved. How about self-control, a world that had that? Sheesh, everything from sexuality to driving your car down the road. Maybe that's the good thing about Tesla. You can just say, you drive for me, and it'll save me from my anger on the road. Peace, patience, kindness. How about faithfulness? For me, in recent years, you've heard me talk about this, but I think in preparation for this message, when I was going through it, and it's like, what does this mean for the Holy Spirit to presence to be? I'm telling you what, I'm a sinner. There's not a day that goes by where I fall short of God's glory. But I am starting to understand what some of these things mean for me. And it's freeing. I've had words of clarity in my mind. Like, it's like, you know, Mark, you've got to be clear about this. My salvation is by grace through faith. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's pure grace to live life in that posture with God. Good soil. Good things can grow. How about integrity? You know, I get up here and I'm charged with, right? I have this calling as a pastor that, you know, what a hard thing. Think about it. I mean, I know sometimes I got to get up, I got to proclaim the word of God, but there are a few times where I'm just like, Lord, really? What do I say, right? It's got to be like a total dependence on God kind of thing. And it also has to be matched up with my own integrity of my own heart. You know, the greatest critique of Christians today is they're judgmental and they're hypocritical. And you go, yep. Integrity. And then humility. I know that God's been impressing this on me the last 4 years, particularly like identifying it. Believe me, I've memorized scripture about humility. Philippians 2 is my favorite. But I think I'm actually now, I don't know, what do you got to turn, 58? 78? To understand it? To not be so defensive. To know whose you are in Jesus. To know that you can defer. To know that you can not focus on yourself, but on loving others. To, you know, all the things of humility. I think this is foundational and central to any follower of Christ. It's right there in the pages of Scripture, right in front of you. And then Jesus says, have the same attitude as Jesus. Look what he did. God eternal, three in one, the Son, all glory are his, and he sets it aside and takes on humanity, humiliation. Then what he went through in his life, the things he experienced. And then death on a cross, talk about shame. Why? Because of the joy he had before him that we would be saved. God's love. You know, I won't tell you that I have humility. I'm growing in it, I'd say, but I don't have it because then I just lost it, right? But I believe this is the Spirit's work in us now. I've also been focusing on courage and surrender, and I got to tell you, there's been a newfound freedom for me in some things because I know that God has just put things in front of my path to step forward in, and I thought, wow, sometimes I'm just scared, right? Or I don't know if I want to speak that here, or I don't know. You know, it has a lot to do with bearing witness to Jesus' name. Am I okay with the ramifications? I have those struggles, even as a pastor, absolutely. But I found some newfound freedom. I'm starting to taste it. My life belongs to Jesus, and following him, serving him, surrendering to him, receiving the Spirit poured out in me, the gift of God at work in me, not my own, but belong to God, to love Scripture, to have a total dependence on God. I think that's what it means to have the Spirit at work in your life. So on Pentecost and in the early church, we get a glimpse and a taste of the Holy Spirit's work in people. Repentance, salvation, bringing about transformations in people's lives, freedom, joy, bringing about community, where the community is characterized, and I'm going to spend 2 weeks after the Great Commandments on this, curiosity, generosity, hospitality, how does that look, what does that flow to? So, I want to bring us into prayer. Because you got to wonder, I hope you're asking the question, like as I'm speaking, like is the Spirit alive and at work in me? And what does that look like? What does it even mean, right? What am I to do? Well, you heard a lot of basic steps today. Some of them are just easy, right? Some of you have already, right? You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. There's been a confession on that level, like, Lord, my life belongs to you. There's been a repentance. But yet you know, right, after time goes on, I know this. It's like the walk of God is, I wish it were straighter. I wish it were more grander, bigger. It seems sometimes slow. Sometimes it seems like you're just taking a step forward and you take a few steps. What is the Spirit saying to you as to what he has done for you and what he is calling you into? How can you just take steps of being a faithful witness for him? How can you take steps to even learn furthermore what this means? Maybe it's similar to what I'm going through. Lord, grow my clarity. Who I am, who you are, and whose I am. That you're Messiah and your Lord, that you've forgiven my sins, you've given me new life in the Spirit, and then what does it look like to be more faithful in that walk? I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit, the gift of, convicts us. That's not a bad thing, to feel bad about yourself or about something that's happened. We get a little weirdo today about self-esteem stuff. I think you'd get better self-esteem if you just admit, I'm undeserving. I am no good. And even my best deeds are like filthy rags. So God, take over my life. Fill me. Kill me. Help me to die. so that I might rise to a life of freedom in you. So I want to give you a minute to just pray. I'll finish with a prayer, but you just pray. Like, what is it that the Spirit's praying? The Spirit is given to us to be a guide, a helper. Sure, convicts us of sin, but also generates this new life growth in us. So, would you pray what God is bringing to your heart and mind?